Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week, we continue our sermon series, The Sacred Chord, looking at popular music and how it intersects with popular scripture. This week's sermon series focuses on Dad Rock and the Magnificat.
The Continuing Testament of Boston. Our sermon text and inspiration this day comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. Hear these words that we find in verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and awesome God, as we encounter you this day in scripture and in spirit, may it be the prayer of our hearts, the hope of our souls, that you are revealed more fully to us as we reflect upon your word and your will. Amen. Some of you this day, especially those who took the time to pick up a bulletin, may have looked at this front cover and thought to yourself, "Dad Rock? What's that?" Some of you may have looked at this cover, heard that Boston song, and said, "I am offended that Whitney called that Dad Rock." Maybe you are not a dad and you still love Boston. Maybe you are a dad and you hate Boston. Maybe you're wondering why on earth anyone would refer to what we all know is true rock and roll, that classic rock, as Dad Rock. Now, I can be to blame for this bulletin art cover, but I did not come up with the term Dad Rock. Indeed, in the culture, it's fairly synonymous with classic rock as an entire genre, and I just would like to point out that classic rock is an ever-evolving catalog of songs that does indeed now include songs that I used to listen to as a child. So I'm with you, not against you, in the Dad Rock world. This term, Dad Rock, I think is actually the better term to think about classic rock because it calls to our attention that reality that musical taste and genre, songs themselves, are not fixed. But rather, they have this power and potential to continue living on from generation to generation as generations are introduced to them. Perhaps you can think of for yourself a song that you grew up listening to with your parents. A song when it still comes on the radio, you think, "Oh my gosh, I love this song." And you're surprised to later find out that this song came out 20 years before you were born. And yet it still matters for you. A song that maybe you were alive when it dropped or not, can come on and you are immediately in tune with a particular feeling or place or memory. There's something about hearing that song, singing it, or just moving to it that feels totally natural, almost inherent to your being. It's as if a song started in the middle of worship and people who have ever been to the
once upon a midnight. was something in my head. I couldn't escape the memory of a phone call and of what you said. Like a game show, just with a parting gift. I could not believe my eyes when I saw through the parts of a trusted friend who needs to humor me and tell me lies. Yeah, humor me and tell me lies. And I'll lie to you and say I don't mind. And as we sit so shallow, we find. And when it's getting old, then I'll still be here. But now without a certain degree of fear, well, what will be for you and me? I still can't see things. Hopefully for you. Why you wanna hear me run around? And if you're violent, speed things up. When all it does is alone.
That, my friends, is the power of dad rock. Because there were only three people standing up during that song who were alive when Blues Traveler released it. That is a sad fact that I like really just thought of, and it really sunk in, so just give me a second.
I'm one of three, right?
You are, 1994. You just made it. And for those who stood for that song, they are not thinking about the pop culture phenomenon that was a 400-pound harmonica player becoming a top 100 artist. They are thinking of what it means to be in a place that they love, a place where they have felt God speaking to them, a place where they have known what it is to not be alone in this world. Because of the personal relationship that they have with God and one another. Dad rock. Those classics that live from generation to generation. Songs that continue impacting, grooving, and moving within generations to come. As they find ways to tether themselves to the past, the present, and the future of God and community together. Go with me here. It's a similar feeling of connection that overtakes Mary as she sits with her beloved cousin, Elizabeth. You see, that scripture we read this morning is a song that Mary sings while in her older cousin, Elizabeth's house. Mary has just arrived to where Elizabeth lives, a little bit of a trek and a journey with big news. News of an angel who has appeared, of a birth foretold of a Messiah, who brings promises of great things, of hope not yet fulfilled, but promises that will surely endure and be known and realized. And as Mary walks into Elizabeth's house, ready to share this great news with her, Elizabeth has great news for Mary herself. Sharing that she too, a woman who was thought to be barren and far past childbearing age, will bear a son. A son who will be called John the Baptist, who will prepare the way for this one whom Mary will be the mother to, called Jesus. And as they're in the midst of this intimate moment, imagining this sharing in the privacy of this kitchen or living room, giggling and dreaming of the future, imagining the life that awaits, a song stirs within Mary and breaks forth from her lips. And we can imagine her gently swaying back and forth, closing her eyes, humming the bars or belting out the words. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. These words that come to Mary, words that we come back to at least once a year as we prepare for the birth of this Christ child, who was and is and will be anticipated. As we hear those words this day, I wonder how many of us have ever stopped and asked, when did Mary write that song? And how do we have it here, recorded in our Bible, if it was just Mary and Elizabeth sitting in that scene. It was mentioned earlier today in our adult faith development class that typically private conversations between women are not the places that biblical scribes found themselves hanging out. I don't know what that's about. How do these words find us? And how did these words find Mary? I think part of the answer finds us in recognizing that it's most likely that Mary didn't write this song. Though there may be some secret hidden talent that we know nothing about her life because not too much of it is recorded for us, that perhaps she was indeed a mad freestyling lyricist, in addition to being the mother of God. But a more likely and equally powerful, I think, likelihood is that these words were familiar to Mary and already embedded within her spirit, because these were words of song that had been sung in the community before. Bits and pieces of the Magnificat have been compared to the song of Hannah that we find in 1 Samuel. Hannah, a woman who is anticipating, hoping for the birth of a child, and when she finds that she is going to have a son who she offers in service to God, named Samuel, she sings out words much like these. And two, the promises that Mary foretells of a mighty one who will bring mercy to generation, whose strength will shine and show through all that happens in this world, are familiar themes within the prophets and the psalmists, familiar themes within the early communities that would have given birth and life, nurtured and loved this Jesus who was to be. And so in this moment of deep intimacy, of personal relationship and reckoning with how powerful God is, Mary recalls upon those bits and pieces of her history, those bits and pieces of faith that are known to her because she has been faithful. This song has its roots in something that would have been so familiar to Mary and Elizabeth both. And so the song that she sings is familiar. And as we all know, sometimes familiarity is what yields great power, not novelty. It's a song that existed in a time and a context before this recorded singing of it now. And it's a song that will exist in a time and a context after, because she sings it now. You see, Mary is making this song of the past a part of her own present, that we might imagine a future together as the people of God. This song that Mary sings is an amalgamation of what has been, what is happening, and what will be. And in this intimate moment that Mary shares with God and Elizabeth and their unborn children, Mary proclaims for herself all that will be possible with God. What a proclamation it is that finds its way into Mary's heart and lips. A proclamation from the generations before that in the midst of a time that could be filled with such uncertainty and fear, she is, after all, an unwed, soon-to-be teenage mother, bearing a Messiah who is said to be the one who will usurp the Roman emperors. And yet, Mary discovers peace of mind. I can't promise that the guitar riff for that peace of mind was as sick as the one Greg played earlier, but I imagine that it was overwhelming in the way that it rushed in waves over Mary's spirit. The way that it calmed her heart allowed her to find centering. Centering in the reminder of how God had already been present in her life. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant, the song proclaims. "Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." It's with joy in her heart and rejoicing on her lips that Mary is able to call herself out as a servant of God in a lowly place who is now lifted up. Mary knows God and her faith well enough that the words of this familiar song do not feel foreign or out of place on her lips. She recognizes first and foremost how God has already been at work in her life, that God already sees her, loves her, trusts her, and knows her ever before the moment when the angel appeared to speak to her. In return, Mary will soon see the face of God. Mary will soon love this child, trust the path forward, and raise him up as the Messiah. And thus the song continues. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. What begins as a personal relationship between Mary and God transitions into that imagining of a future that includes the world beyond that private, personal, sacred relationship. And so is recorded the song, that it might continue to go on, to be echoed in the hearts of God's faithful, to be brought out again and again, that the song of Mary becomes the song of each of us, an invitation into the histories of our people, an invitation into the future and possibilities of our God. And so we are invited. We are invited to learn these words, to discover the melody that suits us for singing and moving and grooving through this life as God would have it be so. We are invited to discover the song that God sings within and over each of us, searching ourselves, seeking ways to be familiar with the past of our faith, the present of our faith, that we might dream into being the possibilities for the generations to come, generations who will reflect back upon the words of Scripture, the words of song, seeped in their sacredness, that they might find ways to live life anew, uniquely and authentically, in accordance with God's grace and love. For this invitation that God extends to each of us this day, to sing a new song, to sing a song that God has placed within us with the same passion, conviction, certainty, and excitement as Mary, we give thanks. Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy God, as individuals, we gather in this place knowing that each of us is seen by you and known by you and loved by you. May we feel your spirit at work within us, a melody within our hearts, a movement within our souls that allows us to keep in step with you